On with Mario Lopez.
You're on with Mario and Courtney Lopez, joining us on Zoom from the Showtime documentary Outcry, Greg and Gabri Kelly. Welcome to the show, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing good. Thanks for having us.
Doing so good, guys. It's our pleasure to be on here with you guys. Thank you for having us.
Oh, man, we really appreciate it. I got to tell you, my wife and I and everyone here on the team at the radio show saw the documentary. We absolutely loved it. Couldn't stop talking about it. What's been the reaction from people since the doc aired?
So the reaction, yeah, nothing but love and support, guys. I mean, it's amazing. I think the day before all the episodes were supposed to drop, I think it first aired in Australia. And out of nowhere, the very next morning, tons of Australians started just flooding our inbox, just all the support and love. And from there on out, it's become so overwhelming. So it's the positive reaction, loving reaction.
Now, obviously, you lived it, but were you able to rewatch it back? And how did that feel?
You know, it was super tough, super tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to watch.
So hard to watch and see our family broken in episode one and episode two, and then the emotions that kind of developed there, and then having to just really take a turn emotional to episode three and then four and then of course five. We, you know, those emotions speak for themselves. So 6 years of fight, battle, hope, faith condensed into 5 hours is a lot. So definitely it doesn't get easier.
Greg, were you happy with the way the story was told, with the way you were portrayed?
I was definitely happy with the outcome of Outcry. I feel like the documentary did it justice. There was a lot of things that was left out of the documentary because actually Pat wanted, hey, I needed like 10 episodes. We've got so much material. We've got so much evidence. We've got so many twists and turns.
Wow.
That he could only get it, and Showtime was only giving him 5 episodes.
So wait a minute. Let me put you on, like, what was left out that we would love to know?
You know, off the top of my head, there was
deleted emails.
There was deleted emails between the police officer and the CPS worker.
Mannix?
Or Daly?
No, Daly.
Daly
and CPS.
That rat bastard.
Yeah. He deleted a lot of emails from his server. He not only deleted it, but he deleted the server.
Yeah.
And it's against the city of Cedar Park's policy in policing.
All the evidence we turned into Patricia wasn't really on the dock, and we turned in so much evidence on Jonathan McCarty.
I think the biggest thing too that wasn't on the dock, I don't know why it was left out, but there was actually 4 victims that Jonathan sexually assaulted. After the matter of fact, and the DA, it only happened in Williamson County, right? So like the one that he got charged with and got found convicted for and went to prison for only 4 years, by the way, that was the deal. And that's sick in itself. But there was 3 other counties where Jonathan raped and drugged for 3 other girls. And those weren't put into the dock because for some odd reason, those counties didn't want to pursue it. So, it was crazy, man. It was super crazy. A lot of things left out.
Unbelievable.
It's so hard to kind of just wrap your head around it, honestly. So, he only had 5 episodes, man. And I wish that, you know, we had a lot more, but for some reason we couldn't get it.
I don't know if my heart could have taken 10, to be honest, because we lost sleep over it. Because we didn't watch them all, you know, in one day. So we were like, oh my God, we can't wait till we, you know, put the kids to bed.
Because we have little kids, so there's no binging for us.
But I just want to say that I called it in the second episode, the outcome, didn't I?
Yeah, yes, she did. She said, oh, it's that kid, Jonathan.
I said, it's not right. Him.
She said, oh, yeah. She called it. She's pretty good about that. She did call
it. I watch Dateline. I watch all that stuff all the time. I said,
you should have been in
kid.
The detective.
You guys seen little nuggets that were like put into like the intro, the hook, or the intro of the, it was like a picture of me and Jonathan side by side.
Yeah.
If we watch the hook, Jonathan's actually introduced in the first 20 seconds of the doc.
Yeah, a lot of people don't notice
But a lot of people don't notice it because our mugshots kind of look the same, right?
Right.
So it was crazy because, like, little do you know, in the trailer, right, the Showtime trailer, it started off with him on the phone, right? And you don't get to see that until you watch the doc. But in the trailer, everybody thought it was me on the phone saying, like, man, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I didn't do it.
You know, this and that. And I was actually Jonathan on the phone. And so, yeah, it's crazy.
Let me ask you this, bro. In the beginning, I was blown away how they never shown a lineup to the kids. Did you put just so much trust in your attorney that you just assumed they would do something like that? Or did you ever say, hey, well, bring that little kid in front of me. Let me see, let me talk to them and see, you know, there's got to be some sort of mistake here.
Day one. I'm telling you, from day one, I said, man, put me in front of the kid.
Oh, you did? Okay. So,
yeah, I told Patricia, I was like, hey, put me in front of the kid. Because I never got to see the kid, you know, and the kid never identified me in court. So the kid was never actually in the courtroom. They made him do a closed circuit interview.
Ugh.
That was DA strategy because the DA didn't want this kid to not point at me and say, you know what? That's not Greg, you know? So like that was DA strategy and it worked for them because, you know, the kid got to testify behind closed circuit interview.
Unbelievable.
Well, Gabri, I have to tell you that I'm sure you know that so many people were just in awe of your loyalty in staying by him and being ride or die. And I don't know if it was the first episode or second, but the Chiron, when it would say Greg's girlfriend, I said, wait, that's present tense. So she's still with him because they never really said, you know, that you guys stayed together. So I just thought that was so amazing. And he kept saying, would you do that for me?
You better do that for me.
Yeah. I'll do that for you.
No, she was. That was so incredible to see. I'm sorry, honey. I cut you off.
No, that's okay. But I want to know what you're doing now, because I know you're a dancer and I was doing some stalking on social media. And I know that you had a scholarship to Broadway Dance Center and we met on Broadway. Right. So,
no way.
Yeah.
Oh, and you were a Charger girl.
A Charger girl.
Yeah. I'm a Charger fan, so you were a Charger girl. Okay. Yes.
He's the one fan.
Shut up, Nichols. No, I'm the big, we're friends with the Spanos. They're good friends of ours. But she, my wife told me, I was like, oh, that's awesome.
I said, oh, she went to, you went to the new Broadway Dance Center because I went to the old one.
The other one? Oh my God. Wow.
So it's a small world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Small world.
Such a small world.
You know why we're up in New York? Of course, we're for that, but we actually got exonerated in New York. Mm-hmm. The CCF.
That's right. Documentary.
And a lot of people, it's crazy because people are like, are you guys still in New York?
Everyone thinks we're still there.
And I'm like, no. We were up there for her. And I tagged along because I didn't want her to go and me stay back because I'll freaking miss her to death. Yeah. So I wanted to go with her. And while I was up there, I was doing some like online training and stuff like that to make ends meet. But we were just enjoying the New York lifestyle. It's so different than Texas, you know, like you can't even see the sun while you're in the city. You can't see the Texas hills. So I was just like, I don't know. This might not be for me. And we got that decision. And right when we got that decision, we knew that these long-term goals that I've been, you know, just putting in my head, I can finally touch them now. So we came back home and now I'm at the University of Texas and I'm a student there. So
that is awesome, man. That's so awesome. And ironically, you come back and this pandemic hits and there's no football. It's like, oh my God. But it's still awesome that you're still able to attend such a great school and this too shall pass. But what are your goals outside of this? Because if I could be a big brother for a second and just suggest something, you were such a compelling, great speaker. Seriously, I found your strength so inspiring the way, and I told my wife, just he's such a strong kid, just psychologically, emotionally, and so mature in the way you talked about seeing the Truman Show and the way you related that to yourself and the parallels and just the story itself was just so incredibly inspiring. Have you thought, I would tell you as an older brother, you should really consider a speaking engagements because I think it would not only be lucrative, but I think you would help so many people. And is that something that you've thought about?
I've thought about it. You know, I've always been very shy. I've always, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I had dyslexia really bad. And so like processing things just didn't really come about until I started practicing them and I started, you know, trying to master them. And I think I have on some level taken a bunch of classes to do so. But I have thought about it, honestly. I felt like I have a little bit more bravery and courage now, because it's just come so normal now. I kind of think of it as a conversation instead of like, I need to do this and this and this and this.
That's exactly how you should think of it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's just a conversation that I'm having pretty much with myself. And so, getting out, and it was so tough, man, when I got out of prison, because half of it I spent alone and the other half I spent with people. And like, sometimes you're kind of in a box for months on end. And so that introvert side of you starts to take over and you just kind of are confined to your own thoughts and you only read and stuff like that. So it was tough for me when I got out to express my emotions and my feelings and actually communicate how I felt, you know,
right,
being out. And, it was tough for me to communicate to her sometimes, like how I feel. Cause they would always ask me, how you doing? You know, and I'm just like, good. You know, and that's it. And I was like, and then now I can finally communicate a little bit better with practice.
No, I think that's something you should definitely consider. And I think you'd be great at it. Going back a little bit, I just wanted to talk about the time you were incarcerated, man. How was it in there for you as far as it? I don't know if I told my wife, or I told you, honey, but I think he told me, and I got a kick out of it, that him and his cellmates would watch me to get the entertainment news.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was kind of funny. But other than that, tell those dudes I said what's up, by the way. But
we're going to go crazy.
They'll freak out.
I'll do a video for them.
They're going to fangirl. I'm telling you, they're going to fangirl.
That's hilarious. But man, just every day, two things. How was that, dealing with that? And then I imagine the stress whenever I was stressed out watching it every Wednesday when you were scrolling at 9 a.m, not knowing, oh my God, those Tuesday nights must have been the longest nights of your life. I can't even fathom that for 2 years.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, the anxiety level for 2 years, I don't know how I don't have bags under my eyes. I don't know how I'm overweight. I don't know how, you know what I mean? I haven't just lost it. But man, at the end of the day, dude, every Tuesday night, there was no sleep, you know, like I was tossing and turning. I did not know if that night was the last dinner I was going to have with my family until I was 44 years old. That was how intense it was. And I did not know if I was going to wake up and have to relive the nightmare of being torn away from the ones I love again. And at one point, I mean, the first time it was so hard for us, right? Mm-hmm. And the second, I can't even imagine doing it again, you know? And like, as time went on, right, every Wednesday, Pat does a phenomenal job going through my awkward phases of my hair, by the way, like,
long. Dude, it was short, exactly, it was short. I like, you got like the Troy Polamalu going on right now.
Yeah, he's actually like my athletic idol. That guy was a beast.
Yeah, I love that guy. Yeah, she's from Pittsburgh, so yeah.
Right on, man. So I tell you what, he was always punctual every Wednesday, 9 a.m. He would be there at 8:30. He would bring me my little Starbucks coffee and we'd sit down and we would wait and pull up that list. And as it got closer to 9 a.m., my heart started pounding even more and more and more. And I was just afraid to even push the little portal. And I pushed it, and for like 80 Wednesdays, wasn't on the list. 80. Wasn't on the list. Wasn't on the list. Wasn't on the list. And after that, you just start growing numb, man. I mean, you start growing numb. And it's like, all right, just to hurry up and wait, I guess, type situation, and just got to go on with life. And then out of nowhere, we're in New York.
And you're by yourself. You're by yourself. When you got that news, you're
like, oh, I was dying. I was there.
I felt bad. I said, he's by himself. He has no one to like hug and, you know.
She got home quick, though. She ran. She ran. I saw that, yeah.
So like, almost every Wednesday at home, we would be together waiting for the decision. But it's that one day.
Yeah, of course.
She had class and I'm by myself with a camera in my face. Right. And Pat did a phenomenal job, man. When I told him, hey, we're moving up to New York for this gig that she has. He said, don't worry about it, man. We'll send somebody up there every Wednesday. I said, no way. He's like, yep, we need this shot, man. So he got the shot, man. I mean, I was there by myself immediately. So we have this funny insight. We have this thing where when we see that I get exonerated, I'm going to immediately text her with a bunch of bird icons because that means freedom.
Free,
right?
Yeah. So free as a bird.
If you notice in the dock, if you see my thumb twitching like that, I'll just bird. that means she's going to be running home, and she ran home through her Yeti mug.
Also, she already knew. Okay. Because it looked like you already knew when she walked in. So, oh my God, that was the best feeling. One thing I wanted to ask really quick. What's your relationship with that family that took you in?
So you're talking about the Sharma family.
Yeah.
Party. So yeah, there's no relationship. There's no communication. We are waiting for Jonathan to do the right thing. We are waiting for Sharma and Ralph to do the right thing. There's no statements from them. I mean, we're just heartbroken, man. We're just heartbroken, and it's just so much pain because, yeah, at the end of the day, I might have received a lot of justice, but there is other victims that have not received justice and that will never receive justice unless people will come forward and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we want. And that's why this fight continues. It's no longer about me. It's about holding these people accountable who thought that this was going to be okay.
Exactly. And that has delayed your compensation, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So here in Texas, whenever you're an exoneree, you get something called the Wrongful Incarceration Act. You're eligible for that. It's about $80,000 for every year you did. To me, you can't put a price on
that. Of course not. Yeah. Freedom.
I'm like, that's it? All you get is 80?
You can't put a price on it. I mean, my big question to anybody else, it was going to be like $240 they were going to give me and some other stuff and like annuity, annual annuity and medical benefits and 120 free credited hours to any university that you can get into in the state of Texas. All that stuff. But at the end of the day, the big question I have to ask for to everybody is, would you go through that 3 years being labeled that, not knowing if you're going to get killed in prison because of what you're labeled for? Would you go through all that for that money? Heck no. So I thought that in my head where I was like, you know what? Compensation wasn't even on the table for me, because how it also says in the language of the Wrongful Incarceration Act is if you want to seek out a lawsuit against anybody that has done you wrong, any government entity, then you have to put that compensation from the state on hold. And you have a 3-year window, statute of limitation, to seek out a lawsuit against the people that have done you wrong.
Mm.
So that's what I'm doing right now. And it's honestly, it's not for the money. It's because these people that did this wrong thing to me and many other people and victims, I mean, they failed so many victims in this case. They have not been held accountable. They have not.
I'm considering committing a crime just to have Keith Hampton's represent me. Awesome. I love that dude.
Maybe don't.
We need his number just in case.
How great is that dude? Like that
Mario,
dude.
You don't want it, man. You don't want it. Tell me you don't want it.
Maybe we just get his number and have it on
hand. No, just in case. I mean, like, how that dude was just like a little angel sent above. And then the Rand, just side note, we kept tripping out on the random dude that didn't know you and became the biggest advocate. Dude, that dude was the that was the craziest thing.
Yeah.
So you remember in the doc where I was giving my exoneration speech.
Yeah, that was a great speech.
I said, thank you, Jake Bryden. Man, I thought you were an angel coming into this. I can't remember what I said, but I thought you meant, until I heard your mouth open to save my life. Because now I'm not saying that he says just wild, crazy, just slanderous things. Wow. I'm just saying this man has a mouthpiece and he's going to speak his mind no matter what it is. And that thing about Jake is that it's really hard for him to listen to anybody if you're talking to him. But one person he'll listen to is God. And when God calls on his heart, I'll tell you what, dude, he's going to go and do it. Mm. And that's what happened here in this situation.
That's
he
awesome.
Said, man, I can't sleep. I own a construction company. I need to sleep. He's like, so, man, I got to do something. He called my mom. He talked to my broken mother. And he said, man, I'm going to fight for your son. I've done the research. He's innocent. We're going to get him home.
Wow.
Dude, that is awesome. Dude, it is
3 years later, man.
And he was in your wedding, which we love.
He married us.
He married you.
And Keith Hampton was there. My guy, Keith. I love that. Dude, that was, it's such a beautiful story. And listen, Lopez is a huge fan. When you guys come out to LA, we want to take you all to dinner. How far are you from Austin, by the way, Greg?
We're right outside. So we live in Austin because I go to the University of Texas.
Oh, so wait a second. Hold on. I actually realized, when am I going to be there? I'm going to be there in August. A couple weeks. So I'd love to meet you, brother. We'll go have a drink and love to meet you guys.
Like a barbecue. You got to have some barbecue,
man. There you go. Sounds good, man. So I'm going to hit you up. I'm going to hit you up on that. And then again, we'd love to take you guys out when you come out here. Listen, it was such a pleasure. Please give your mom a big beso for me.
Yeah. And Gabriel, your parents are amazing too.
Yes, Gabriel, your parents, unbelievable. That support. Yeah. You guys, we're big fans of all you guys and your family right there. Mm-hmm. So God bless you guys. And listen, anyone who hasn't seen it, it is a fantastic doc. Best one I've seen in a long, long time. It's called Outcry. It's on Showtime. The Kellys, thank you so much for checking in.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
On with Mario Lopez.